We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They're celebrating 85 years this year in 2019 as they've been serving East Tennessee for 85 years, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. And they'd love for you to become a member as well. Everything they do is about serving their members at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. So check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They've got great rates on home loans right now for the month of May. Or you can stop into one of over 20 branches right here in East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. So the Tate Ratledge thing, like, I'm with you. I'm not that, I mean, you're going to miss on some recruits. It's obviously, you know, better if you get commitments. But at this stage of the game, I mean, that's just another slot that stays open until you fill it. And that's if there's a position where you're not, you know, dying to miss on, it's offensive tackle. I did want to get your thoughts on the dad. If he has been a lifelong Tennessee fan, whether or not he put that sticker on the truck that morning to then remove it and make it kind of a joke or whatever, I mean, that seems a little annoying. But let's assume that he actually has been a lifelong fan. I mean, it's not, we have fans of Georgia here. There's fans of Tennessee in Georgia. Like, it's not crazy for... It's not crazy. I couldn't decide if I want to rag on Billy in that moment or just keep going.
We don't. He only rags on me. I don't rag on him. Remember this, Billy. I like that song.
Yeah, I know. We know.
Just saying.
So it's, you know, it's normal to be fan of another school but live in that state. And then when you have a kid grow up, they're really good at sports. I mean, I have a hard time.
You abandon the child. That's what you do.
That's what you do?
Mm-hmm. I've abandoned my boy.
For me, it's hard with...
Say it, Daniel. I've abandoned my boy.
I look at the Trevor Lawrence situation. Because that's going to
be... I've abandoned my child! That's what I would be yelling as he chose Georgia. Especially if he chose Georgia.
He just walked away.
I've abandoned my boy!
I just walk away from the table.
I've abandoned my boy! That's me.
What if the dad had worn like a bright orange tie?
Just shakes his head the whole time.
And just walked off. I mean, we've seen people do that at the...
I've abandoned my child!
At the All-American games where all the family gets around. And it always seems to be the weirdest with like Auburn, Alabama, and LSU. Those are the really weird
just
ones.
The mom just shakes her head, gets up and walks off.
She's got her LSU gear on.
The dad's just like, yeah, yes, did it. I don't know, man. You kick him out of the house. You don't go to any of his games. You tell him you love him still, kind of. I don't know.
It'd be really...
It's
hard.
It's weird that what makes me mad is that it came down to those two, and he, like, don't even put Tennessee on the table. If you respect Tennessee and just don't want to go there for your own personal, you know, whatever, okay, the depth chart doesn't make sense for you, sure. But don't, like, my problem with this scenario is that they totally ragged on Tennessee in the process. Mm. We love Tennessee. We grew up Tennessee fans. Let's make Tennessee look stupid. That's my problem. So my son, in this scenario, would not have a Tennessee hat on the table. He would have a Florida hat on the table. Hmm. Even if Florida didn't offer or want the guy, he's going to have a Florida hat on the table, and he's going to pick the Georgia hat. And then I'm going to abandon him forever.
You just leave Tennessee out of it. Well, I have a...
No, I mean, I'm kidding about the abandon my child thing. I was doing a There Will Be Blood screenplay.
Yeah. Well,
I would want my son to do what he thought was best. I would hope that if Tennessee offered and there was a fit there that he would go there. But if he went somewhere, especially to a rival, I mean, I'm not changing my complete fanhood. I'm not going to just drop my Tennessee fandom.
No.
I would hope my son does well, hope Georgia does well while he's there, but just maybe not that well when they played Tennessee. Not him particularly, just that Tennessee would win.
In fact, if I've got...
I think. I don't have a son, so I don't know how to feel
about
that.
If I was a lifelong Tennessee fan... and my son went to Georgia, I don't think I would lose the Tennessee sticker on the truck. I don't know. I might add a small little G.
A house divided? Would you do a house divided license plate?
I thought those were funny at first, wouldn't you? But I don't know. It seems a little overplayed.
You're a house divided guy.
I would maybe just put the small Georgia G on there, kind of beside the T, and then when I drive around, people would know, like, oh, that's that weird guy that has to pull for.
You want people to feel bad for you?
No.
Oh.
I just. Like with Trevor Lawrence, it's one thing to go to Clemson, right? Not in the same conference, not going to play each other.
They're also really good.
I think if my kid went to Clemson and I was a Tennessee fan, I would just still pull for both, basically. And if they played each other, obviously, I think you have to side with your kid when they play each other. Like this dad, like surely he's still gonna like be living and dying in the Tennessee-Florida game with Tennessee if you get in that type of situation. It might be slightly diminished because your kid's at Georgia now and you know, Georgia kind of becomes the priority viewing thing, but like you can't turn it off. I've tried to get into like the English Premier League, for example, and like tried to, you know, I've got my team and I've tried to like live and die with like when they play and they have a big time match. It's not the same. It's not the same when you as growing up pulling for something. So I don't think it would just go away. I mean, if Georgia and Tennessee is coming down to the wire and your kid's on one side but your heart's with the other, especially with Tennessee being down, like if next year this kid's not even playing and Tennessee has a chance to pull a big upset against Georgia, like I think I would still be pulling for Tennessee. I'm like, yeah,
as you should.
My son will get over it. You know, like he's not even starting yet. Like he can get his later. I want Tennessee to be back. You know what I'm saying? Like
I'm with you.
I kind of feel like we went through this when I wanted Butch Jones fired so bad that I wasn't sure whether I wanted the team to actually win some of those games. Like the Georgia Tech game was weird. Like I was happy they won, but I didn't feel the same. Once Jeremy Pruitt started, any chance they've had to win or do well, I'm on the edge of my seat, obviously just watching every block. Like, please make that block. Please make that guy miss. Please knock that ball down. With Butch Jones, it was kind of his final season, I watched games kind of in a numb state of, well, I want Tennessee to do well. I have this underlying feeling of that, but my head's saying, for Butch Jones to get fired, I need this to kind of melt down.
Mm.
So I don't know. Maybe that's the feeling when those two teams play.
You abandon the boy.
That's the move?
That's what you do. Sorry, not sorry. Maybe I'm the jerk.
Alex says, can you really blame the guy for taking the first legitimate opportunity he can to end his misery?
No. Yes. Yeah, you can. A little bit. It'd be one thing if they didn't offer, right? Like, or if you felt like the coach was just an idiot.
Yeah.
Like Trevor
Lawrence.
Like,
we don't blame Trevor Lawrence at all.
Or T. Higgins. Like, any of these guys. Am I right? Like, I don't blame any of those guys. I really don't.
Remember when Butch came to the basketball game?
And had, yeah.
And was, like, sectioned off.
Yeah.
And then Dabo came and was just, like,
hanging out with everybody. Yeah, yeah, I remember. Like, maybe at the time I was a little perturbed, but no, like, looking back on it, it's like, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, T. Higgins, Amari Rodgers, they all kind of knew. They realized, hey, this is not going in the right direction. Let's look elsewhere. Now those guys have national championship rings. But I would think that as you look at Jeremy Pruitt, especially deciding between Georgia and Tennessee now, like, Pruitt was at Georgia. Pruitt kind of started, in a way, this turnaround that's taken place at Georgia. The only thing I can think for Tate Ratledge is that Georgia's depth chart is a little bit more welcoming right now, which is fine. Like, that's a business decision. That's why I don't like the burn Tennessee down on the way out the door thing. That's my only issue. So, no, I can't blame him for going to Georgia based on I want to play, I want to get to the NFL. I think Sam Pittman's a hell of a coach. But I really don't like the I'm going to burn down my childhood team and then the father doing the I'm going to peel the sticker off the window for attention thing. Those I do not like.
Could have peeled that sticker off at the house. Could have just...
Right. Or just, like you said, just leave it and don't worry about it.
Yeah. I would hope my kid knows that I'm still pulling for my team. I mean, I'm going to pull for my kid, too. And if it's, you know... I legitimately think it would depend on where my kid is in their career as to who I would want to win a game at the end. Like, if my kid's the senior starting quarterback at a school and they're playing my original school, like, for a championship or something, I'd probably end up pulling for my kid. But if they're not really a part of it yet, like, if it's their final year of high school but they've already committed but they're not on the team yet, I mean, I think that's where I draw the line. I think you have to put your family first, but not until it's, like, ultimately them in that moment.
I agree with that. I have no issues with this.
But you're right. Staging it and making a...
Like, well, and the dad was, he was in on it, too. You know, with the... Like, that's the thing. I just don't like that. But... Yeah, you want to go play for a good line coach and a good team. Depth chart's favorable. Yeah, I don't blame you for going to Georgia. And you live in Georgia, too. So it's not, you know, it's not like they are in Knoxville, right. Grew up in Knoxville. I mean, that happened recently, too, though. Just saying.
Well, and there's a lot of people that kind of say they're a diehard fan, and they just think they are, too. I mean, it's weird. I keep meeting more and more fans that are like, yeah, I pull for these three SEC schools. I'm like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
But people... I don't know, it's weird. Like, SEC football has become so big that your net is now catching these fans kind of out on the periphery that enjoy hanging out with their friends in their town watching it. So they become like a fan, but it's not the same as what most of us think of when we think diehard fan. So I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know this family's dynamic, but that, you know, there was that baseball player in Florida who basically said, yeah, my family still pulls for Tennessee. I mean, they
that's might, the way it should be
they
done.
Might pull for me when I play Tennessee in baseball, but that doesn't change. Like, on a football Saturday, they're still pulling for Tennessee. So that, I don't know, that to me is a little more realistic than this whole faux sticker gate thing with Tate Ratledge and his dad. We'll come back with more Shift Gears on the flip side. Stick with us right here. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. From college football to a little college basketball talk. Of course, the NBA draft lottery is tonight. That's going to be pretty nuts with Zion Williamson riding on whoever gets number one. And of course, the NBA draft impacts Tennessee basketball because you have Jordan Bone, his future. You have Grant Williams and his future. May 29th is the deadline to rescind your eligibility into the NBA draft. So that's when, if you get great unexpected news from Grant Williams, you would get that before May 29th, which is only 15 days away. So all that's going down. And then... the NCAA is also considering rule changes, and for Tennessee and Rick Barnes, apparently our head coach is all for it, Houston. The big thing that everybody is will be talking about the most will be moving back the three-point line.
How far?
To the international basketball distance.
Half
of
court.
22 feet, 1 3/4 inches.
How?
22 feet, 1 3/4 inches. It's international. So does that correlate with some perfect meter distance
maybe,
or something?
Maybe it does. 22, 1 3/4.
Is that 7 meters maybe?
Please don't try to do that. You're not in the condition to try to.
What are you talking about?
You're just not. And it's going to take too long for you to type it. You got it? See how long it's taking?
Yeah, that's not right.
Okay. Now we know.
Rick Barnes is for this. He is he's on some committee, I think.
So what's it, what's the line at now?
It went from 19.9, that's the high school line now, to 20 feet 9 inches in 10 years ago.
They backed it up a foot. So right now I remember that was a really big deal.
Right now it's 20 feet 9 inches, and it would go to 22 feet 1 and 3 quarter inches. So another, what, foot and 4 and 3 quarter inches? Is that right?
What's it at right now?
It's at 20 feet 9 inches.
And it would go to?
22, 1 and 3 quarter inches.
Oh, okay. I think earlier, in my head, it was only going back like 4 inches. So this is a pretty significant move then.
I think I had that right? 1 foot, 4 and 3 quarter inches. So about a foot and a half, if you want to think of it like that. I don't know. Does that look close?
No, it looked way too far.
Oh, really? Was that 2 feet? Okay. Foot and a half.
So about a foot and a half.
Foot and a half. About like that, if you're watching. Foot and a half.
And we like, Rick Barnes likes this. It's funny, I mean, they backed it up 10 years ago, and the three-point shot has gotten more popular.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
What's the purpose? I mean, I get if you want to just kind of, you know, streamline the game across countries here and go with this international line, but this is still going to be shorter than the NBA line.
Oh, yeah, by a good... good bit.
So does the NBA need to shorten it? I don't think so. That's not going to happen.
Billy, give us the NBA distance when you find it.
I think it's like 23.
Don't think. Like, look it up and just come in. Like
he might know. Maybe he knows. He might just have it at the top of the dome there.
Yeah, 23.75 feet.
8 inches.
22 feet in the corner.
22 in the corner.
All right.
So now we're whatever.
They tested this during the
NIT. RIP Teams... Davey, the NIT expert. Not here today when we get some breaking NIT news.
That was a stick, Billy. I'm not sure if you knew that. Davey was going to be an NIT bracketologist.
Yeah.
So in the NIT, they shot 33% from three. In the regular season, all of college basketball shot 35.2%. Like, do we have math on whether it doesn't matter if that sample size?
Why does this matter? Why do we change? Why are we changing to get? Like, should we not make it the NBA line? This is America.
Right? I don't think an extra foot is going to matter one bit
at all.
It might make the numbers. I mean, it might make a tiny. Here's the thing. It might mean that teams shoot a tiny percent worse from three. It
or
might
they
mean
just
that.
Take fewer, like certain players take fewer threes?
Well, that's what coaches think. I don't think that's going to matter. I think guys that are going to take threes are just going to adjust and keep taking threes.
Well, I'm just saying as they adjust, they might, you know, toe on the line type stuff, different shots from different spots on the floor.
Maybe, but I don't think it would take long, like you said. Guys, in the NBA, they shoot more threes. It's a farther back line. Right. I know they're better shooters, but...
they're professionals.
But that... I think it's a...
Like, what are we trying to fix here? What's the problem that we're trying to solve by going to the international three-point line?
Well, here's... I think they want more freedom of movement around the basket. Rick Barnes talked about also liking
this is an attempt to lane. This is an attempt to spread the floor.
Right.
And are they going to go to the trapezoid paint? Is that in the rule change?
Not yet. But that's under discussion, would be widening the lane. Or just widening it like the NBA lane. You know, it's wider. But it's not trapezoid.
The international lane is trapezoid.
It's trapezoid, yeah.
So where's the rhombus lane? How do we get the rhombus lane? Do we need to go rhombus?
On percentages, it took the national average roughly 10 years to reach 35.2%, and that's what the average was the 2008-2009 season before they So it took roughly 10 years for the college game to
catch up to what it was before the interesting. I like the game, man. Like, I don't know.
I don't think people take less threes because it's a foot farther back. I think they just shoot their three a foot farther back. I mean, like, most of these guys are shooting more than a foot behind the line anyway because the defense is there anyway. Now, I can see why Rick Barnes would like it because his team is one of the few that actually still will run post sets and take elbow jump shots. So it would make sense that he would want that.
Yeah, defender's a little further away from that elbow jumper.
Yeah, a small advantage there. But I don't. I mean, if they want to drastically change the game, just move it back to the NBA line.
So Houston and I were talking before the show started. I think if this rule was in effect last year, Tennessee's an even better team because it takes the double team longer to get to Grant, free throw line extended. He was one of the best players 10 feet and in last season, mm-hmm. as well as it kind of opens up the court for the dribble drive from Jordan Bone. Do you think they did win 31 games, so it's hard to say they'd be better, but it certainly opens up room for Grant to.
Does this help us not give up just every three in the world to every team initially?
I actually have to guard more space, though. Like
right, but they're not going to hit as high of a clip, at least initially, I wouldn't think.
Right.
But that means we're not going to hit as high of a clip either. Again, I'm trying to figure out what we're trying to solve here.
Yeah, I don't know that it actually changes any like single game here or single game there. It just makes the numbers across the board slightly different and changes the game. I mean, what did they shoot from the new line in 2009-2010? Like, what was the worst percentage it was behind the new line? That would be like what was the difference here? They've got an NIT, which is just a few games versus an entire season body of work.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes is one of three Division I head coaches on the NCAA's 13-member men's basketball rules committee. So actually has a lot of power in this at the moment. An appointment that expires in August but could roll over into a reappointment. Four other proposals were made by the committee. This was on Friday last week. Resetting the shot clock to 20 seconds following an offensive rebound. You like that one?
Yeah,
I
like that one.
When your team really needs a stop and you get the
what
other
is it,
team
what
to
is
miss.
What is it now? Is it 30?
It's 30.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, you're essentially taking the 10 seconds to get the ball across half court off the table because, well, the ball's already across half court. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Deck that 10 seconds. That's fine.
I do wonder about the equipment. Like, do you have to reprogram shot
clocks and
stuff? You have to have a second button, right? I mean, you can't, there's no way to.
Yeah, because I think the shot clock is just, well, at least at Thompson Bowling when I was, you know, there, it was just one button.
You just
reset,
right?
It just resets. But you could program it, you know, before a game to reset to a specific spot.
Oh, yeah, because you have different
right,
stuff.
Like men's and women's game were different as far as
but
the time.
Could you have two separate resets, though?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that would be pretty easy. You just run, you know, two buttons into the same board, and then whichever one you hit would reset it to either 20 or 30 for the men's game.
Can you imagine the reviews, though, when they mess that up?
And they would, at least initially.
Players be assessed a flagrant 2 technical foul and ejected should they use derogatory language about an opponent's race, ethnicity, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or disability.
Sure. Okay. Clean the game up. No more potty mouth. Got it.
Allowing coaches to call live ball timeouts in the last 2 minutes of the second half and the last 2 minutes of any overtime periods. Currently, coaches aren't allowed to call any live ball timeouts during the game.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that one. I would like the coach to have the ability to scream at the official and call a timeout.
I don't understand why we got rid of that.
I don't either. I mean, you can do it in football. I don't know why you can't do it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Why would you not? That's coaching, right? Why would you not want to allow your coach to coach?
The final one is during the last 2 minutes of the second half or last 2 minutes of any overtime. Instant replay review can be conducted if a basket interference or goaltending call has been made. That's the LSU rule.
Kentucky rule.
Yeah. We'll come back to you on those a little more. You can tweet us at Fox Sports Knox or give us a shout 865-546-8200 with your thoughts on the proposed changes for college basketball. And the way I understand this, I mean, it probably means these are going to go through if not now, pretty soon, either way. So keep it right here for more Fan Run Radio. This segment of the program brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Check them out online at goldsgym.com to find the location nearest you. And as always, you can download the free 3-day VIP pass at goldsgym.com. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. We're talking about the proposed basketball rule changes. They're going to vote. What's the date on that vote, Billy?
June the 5th.
So right around the corner, they'll vote on these proposals. I mean, I love the basket interference review. I mean, you're reviewing everything else. You might as well put that in there. It seems really dumb when they review, you know, like whether the block charge guy was in the arc, which is essentially
the same
type of call, and they couldn't review last year the ball in the cylinder. I mean, so that's an obvious check for me. I don't understand why they took the ability of coaches to call live ball timeouts away. I did like... Remember when the guys would jump up out of bounds and call timeout in the air?
Mm-hmm.
I did like how they changed that, where like you have to be established on the court to call a timeout. But I don't understand why they took the ability to, like, why can't a coach just call timeout while, and just, I mean, if there's a scrum and a guy grabs the ball and the coach is trying to call timeout, right, as another guy dives on top of him and they don't grant the timeout, just call the jump ball and move on. It's fine. I mean, you can still have that built-in protection of, well, sorry, I know you tried to call timeout, coach, but we didn't hear you until it was tied up, whatever. But anyway, apparently they want to go to that in the last 2 minutes of the second half and overtime. It's just going to – I don't know, it's going to feel weird because you have these moments where a coach tries to do it at 2 minutes and 3 seconds where he starts calling time.
I guess that's a tech.
it's like the when the NFL went to the automatic reviews in certain situations, and the coaches would throw the challenge flag anyway, and then they get get busted for it. I don't know. The flagrant two, it seems like they're just adding kind of.
They're just trying to keep the game civil. I'm fine with that.
And I actually like resetting the shot clock
to 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too.
Because your point's the point that they made. The ball's already across half court.
You don't need those 10 seconds.
And I think it'll help a few late game situations instead of a team getting an offensive rebound, and that meaning that they go from, you know, maybe having to defend one more possession to just getting fouled and winning the game. You know, keep those 10 seconds in play.
So far these rules aren't, I mean, the proposed changes aren't bad. I do wonder what we're trying to accomplish by backing the 3-point line up. I mean, Billy's point of extending the floor and the help taking a little bit longer. I mean, I guess if it comes from the wing, but typically you're on helpline. I don't know. I don't know. Do we not like the 3-point shot? Do we want? Is that what this is? Like it? Auburn hitting all those threes against North Carolina? Are we just like, oh no, the Blue Bloods aren't going to give up all these threes and not go down without a fight. We're going to back the lineup.
Is that it? Is this the power conference trying to protect their athletic guys, like, that are better getting at the getting to the basket?
Maybe. Like, is this Virginia saying, like, hey, we don't lose to Maryland Baltimore County if those threes are backed up a little further? Because I'm with you guys. Like, the number of threes taken may go down slightly and the percentage drops slightly, but, I mean, these teams will adjust. I am surprised that it took 10 years to get to the average, like the number to catch up to what it was before they backed it up a foot the first time, and this is almost a foot and a half.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess we will see the percentages go down.
I wonder how many, if you could do a shot chart for all of college basketball, the percentage of threes that came between the current line and the new line. I bet it's very small. Because I bet most of the threes, I bet like 80% of the threes were behind the new line already. I mean, it felt like those Purdue guys were just bomb. Like, they weren't near the line, right? Like,
those were bombs.
So Billy grabbed some numbers for us. So the last year of the old 19-foot 9-inch, that's 2008-09 season. I mean, this is the line you're used to. This is the line that's at your local YMCA. It's at your local gym. It's the top of the key 3-point line. It's still the high school line here in the state of Tennessee. What was the median 3-point shooting team that year?
34.9%.
So they're right at 35%.
The next year, after the line moved back, it dropped to 33.9. So, you know, 1%.
So 1% lower
per
the next year. And over the next 10 years, it's been catching up that 1%. And last year was actually 35.2%. So it's actually even a little bit better than where they were 10 years ago from the top of the key line.
Shouts out to Steph Curry. Changing the game.
I mean, we joked about the Rockets having that 3-on-1 break the other night and just both wings ran to the 3-point line. And that's the NBA. Like, I do think it spreads the game out more. I just don't know. I mean, to me, this like helps. I know Rick Barnes likes these moves. To me, this helps Kentucky more. This helps Duke more. This helps teams that get these 5-star guys that you cannot keep in front of you.
Yeah.
Because now the guy they're kicking to on the wing is farther away.
Well, but he's further away. So
1%, like
maybe 1.5. But if he's not hitting as many of those threes, then
you clog the paint more.
God, I don't know.
The paint ain't clogged in the NBA. I know that. When I watch an NBA game,
it is
drive, kick, kick again, rotate, 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 three. Like that's the way it goes.
Again, it seems like it helps you and hurts you, I guess. Do we need to widen the floor by 2 feet?
It's a bigger court.
Bigger court?
That'll really
is,
be.
Is that
stadium
what we need?
Officials will love that one. Hey, we got to get rid of two rows on both
sides. We're keeping the court building business afloat here. I mean, really, those courts are big enough to do that now, I think.
Most of them. Call it the big ones are.
I don't know. On the sideline, though, I'm trying to think how much space there is typically between. I mean,
there's a wall at some point.
Well, no, it's not that close.
They come in sections, right? So can you add one more section of the wood paneled Thompson Bowling floor down one side and then shift the whole floor over?
Yeah, I think you could.
The paint over half a section?
I don't think it would really be that difficult. And I mean, seriously, like it'd be a lot of business for these these floor companies. Oh, you build basketball floors? Yeah, no one seems to need a new one anymore. We just resurface. New rules, boom. I mean, every D1 school in the country is going to have to get a new paint job and a new surface.
We're going to have the two lines again. Ugh.
This makes me want to.
Can the women just switch to this line also?
They might.
I hate the two arcs on the.
Well, hell, I don't know. This is what's weird, too, is they, you know, the women's game went to the four quarters this year.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the test market, I thought, for the men's game. I'm surprised that didn't come back into play.
The men's game would change to it. I love it.
I do, too.
You get less of those halves where a team's in the bonus, you know, with 12, 13 minutes to go.
Now, that does hurt Kentucky and Duke.
Maybe that's why they're sticking with the halves.
So it looks like the corner three-point line, you have about 3 feet. So
yeah.
I don't know if you could add two.
No,
you might be
you
able
couldn't.
To add a foot and a half, but to wide the court.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Even still, that would be
the NBA goes straight up from mm-hmm. the corner at first, and then starts to arc. So I don't know if they'd try to do that, and maybe back it up a little bit, or do you leave the corners the same and then just extend the arc once you get to the arc spot as the straight line becomes
just have
the arc.
The arcs go all the way till they hit the sideline. So like in the corner,
it's a two. You shouldn't be shooting that shot anyway.
You want to change the game.
To your
that's
point.
That's where Grant made his money from, though. That's how he beat Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Grant just zip right from the corner. Needed that to be a three.
To your point, Nate, about did Purdue take, you know, shots behind that line? Just looking at it, Purdue made 15 threes. It looks like 9 of them probably would have already been behind the line.
Yeah.
That's 6 points, though. We would have won.
That is true.
Unless our threes were also, well, you know.
Well, yeah. It kind of changed the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, right, it's fine.
Barnes has been one of the most vocal coaches about wanting to being able to call live ball timeouts. You'd think after Lamonte jacked that shot up at LSU. I think we have a really bad rule in college basketball where coaches can't call timeouts in that situation, Barnes said. A loss at LSU in late February. The players are so locked into trying to play.
Lamonte, no! Every Tennessee fan ever right there.
As much as you talk about it, they shouldn't have to come down the floor looking at me, seeing if I want a timeout, which we talked about having a timeout.
What? We talked about how, okay.
Yeah, he's Butch Jones in a little bit. He's making sure you know that
they had a timeout.
Informed his players that they had a timeout. He's making sure you know that Lamonte Turner is getting thrown under the bus. That it wasn't Rick Barnes' fault that they lost at LSU.
Not a good look.
No.
IMO, JMO.
I think all of that was the quote from after LSU. It was a little weird.
This wasn't recent.
New paragraph. Okay. But yeah, all that was after the LSU loss. He was complaining that he couldn't just call a timeout, that the players had to look over instead of just saying, yeah, we didn't do a good job there. We should have called time, you know, whatever.
I'm fine with all these rule changes. You want to back the lineup? Back the lineup. Kids are going to adjust. They've already started to adjust anyway. I mean, just the game's changing. People love to be able to shoot that deep three now. Kids are starting to shoot it more younger. So I think this one will take less time to catch up with to get back to that average than the first time. I do.
Random court painting thought. I'm pretty sure the arc for the women's game is different than the arc for the men's game, but I think like at Thompson Bowling and the big time programs, they just swap out those panels of the floor for a men's game and a women's game. But if you see like a lower level, like a cheaper Division I program doesn't have the money, you see both arcs on the floor for both games. I could be completely wrong on that.
I'm not sure.
But I could have swore they moved the arc further out for men recently than the original arc, which is still there for women. But anyway, not a big deal. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Final segment, hour number two of the program. They're proposing to move the college basketball three-point line back about a foot and a half. Did you see Grant Williams' video?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Mm.
I mean, I don't, but I think we should.
Let's say a tweet by Mike Schmitz. Video of Grant Williams shooting three-pointers from the wing from behind the NBA three-point line. I mean, he did miss the second one, but just drain on the rest. And I mean, his motion's just so clean. Just so good.
I am shook.
Are you?
Yes. I do not like that. For two reasons.
Oh,
hey, where was that?
I hadn't even watched the end of this where he starts moving around. Like, he was kind of shooting a set shot earlier, and then he starts...
Why was this not more of our game plan? And, man, he's going to skyrocket. Do we just need to say bye?
I mean, if he starts making that shot, like, people have
it's
said
over,
it
dude.
For a while. Like, he is Draymond Green. I mean, he starts making that shot, and
It's curtains and TBA again.
I mean, what was Draymond on the first Warrior, like before Durant? Was he the third best player on the Warriors before Durant got there? Or do people think, I don't know, I'm not an NBA expert, I don't claim to be. Do people think Iguodala is like more important?
He might have been at the time.
Yeah.
But I think Draymond's ability to rebound and defend, but then also get out on the other court and be a three-point option. Like you can't just pack your guy in off of Draymond because
sure.
He could catch and knock the three down. Like, that's what Grant Williams can become. He can defend his position fine. Well, you read that from one of the NBA draft experts. Can he defend,
right?
You know, guys his height, basically?
Draymond only shot 20% from the three his first season. So
he's developed
the shot.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Grant Williams plan, I would think. I mean, I feel like Grant's about as quick as Draymond, or could at least improve. I mean, that, you know, he's got that spin move on the offensive side. Grant's never really had to guard
quick, not fast. Yeah,
at Tennessee, so that's just a little bit of an unknown. Yeah, why didn't we
really didn't need him draining threes? Really did not want to see that, unless it was in orange and white next year. Like, is that the only question mark for his offensive game?
Yeah, I mean, he's money from
everywhere else.
The free throw line and in. He's great from the line. He's great hitting that. He can even hit over guys from the free throw line and in, like taller players.
Yep.
Shoots the ball, you know, nice and high over his head. Like, it's over, right?
Maybe he just loves college.
That's our only hope.
That he just loves college.
Yeah.
loves it so, 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 so much.
He's one of the most productive players in the country, Schmitz puts in this tweet, and still doesn't turn 21 until November 30th. So a lot of people.
That to me seems amazing. How is that possible? Did he skip a grade somewhere? That he wouldn't be 21 until his senior year? Like midway through it? Seems odd, doesn't it? He did almost go to Harvard.
Yeah.
Gah! Why did he have to hit those threes? Maybe that was just a good video. Maybe overall it wasn't as good.
So does that mean like, let's just say he started, so does that mean in like first grade, most of the first graders are whatever they are, six, right? And then he doesn't turn six until November 30th. So he even like basically was a half year ahead.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Because like no one, everyone has to be held back if your birthday is November 30th now. I mean, the cutoff now is like August 1st or something.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if he was just too smart.
Just went ahead and went. Or skipped.
They were just
grade.
Like, yeah, you don't really skip need, first grade, you don't need kindergarten. Just go ahead and get into first grade.
That's wild. Especially in today's age. I mean, a lot of boys are
held back
a year and a half behind their normal.
Especially time. Those who are going to play basketball.
Right. You want to be
just
as tall as you can be.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of parents do that early now if they think their child has athletic ability so that they kind of have the one-up of their class.
So you're shook.
But really, that means that if he comes back, you know, he's still a year younger.
Yeah.
So the NBA should...
still wait for him.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's already, if he's getting all his practice behind the NBA line, if the college line moves back, he can still shoot threes next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's preparing to be able to handle that.
Mm.
We're going to be rebuilding in this year, aren't we?
Yeah. This is...
And then we're going to...
This
then
shook it, me, man.
And if Josiah's not any good, well, then it just he'll be coming back for year two, but it'll just suck because he's not as good as we hoped. And if he is really good, then we'll have to be – we'll be going through this exact
same thing
next year.
Yeah.
Freaking catch 22. How good do you want him to be?
Great.
You want him to be great? Oh, no, you were just saying great.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
I want the best for Grant. I really do. He deserves it. I also want him to come back next year. I am torn. I just need what I don't want to do is just keep waiting on this. I just need him. I need him to make the move. Just say it. Just go ahead and say it.
Gone.
Just say I'm going into the draft. Let's not delay this process any longer than we have to, man. Like let's just go ahead. What is it? May 30th. So two more 29th, weeks.
Yeah.
29th.
Mm-hmm.
So two more weeks, and it'll be official. If he knows and everyone's telling him and he just thinks, yeah, it's just time. Just like we've already got all of our players signed, right? Like Josiah, Gaines, Pember.
It would help out if we knew so we
and
had that spot.
Oliver. Like they're all signed, so it's done. So I mean, that's a good point. Like if you're Rick Barnes, don't you want to know? Maybe he already does. But we filled the Derek Walker spot with Oliver Robinson. What is it?
Kemhua.
We filled that spot, but now we need another and potentially another with Bone.
I would think so, right?
Like we need to know, man.
Yeah.
Like we need the info so that Rick Barnes can get in that grad transfer market big time. Dang. I did not need him hitting this many threes and looking good doing it. Maybe he loves college.
Let's hope so.
I love college.
College is great. Who doesn't love college? Does anybody get done with college and go, that sucked. So glad to be out of college.
Probably a lot of people.
You think so?
Yeah.
Not Grant Williams.
Not Grant Williams. Loves it.